This is Pastor William. On behalf of the members of Providence Baptist Church, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for joining us. It is our joy to share God's truth, and we trust that the preaching of God's Word will always bless His people. But we humbly remind you that no recording can ever replace biblical corporate worship or true Christian fellowship. So we encourage everyone everywhere to commit themselves to the service of God's kingdom in a local church. And we pray that the Lord keep and bless you as you continue to earnestly seek Him. Amen. Amen. Please be seated and open with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 6 in sort of a general sense of all those verses. And I told you that we would come back to these because there were some topics that I thought could use a bit more attention. So this morning we go back to verse 1 and we'll read verses 1 and 2. And I want to talk about this distinguishing mark of discipleship, which is brotherly love. So Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue, and do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So it's important to understand what, like so many other topics that we cross, it's important to understand what Scripture means when it talks about something. So specifically, it's important to understand here what Scripture means when it says brotherly love. So the Greek language has several words that can be translated as love, and each of those words convey a different aspect or expression of love, ranging from a selfless devotion to affectionate friendship and familial bonds, and even the romantic passion between a husband and a wife. And each type of love displays a significant role in human relationships and serves as a reflection of God's love for humanity. So the first one that we're most familiar with is the word agape. The Greek word agape is considered the highest form of love in the New Testament. It represents a selfless, sacrificial love. It is a love that seeks the best for others, regardless of any personal gain or loss. Agape is the love that God has for humanity, and it's demonstrated through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It's the love that's shown in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The next one, which we are probably familiar with, is philia. The Greek word philia refers to an affectionate friendship love. It is the bond of camaraderie and mutual goodwill shared between good friends and companions. This involves things like loyalty and trust and mutual respect. There are two other Greek words that are translated love in the English language, but they don't, well, I'll save that comment. The first word is eros. Eros is, it's a romantic and a passionate love, often associated with desire and belonging, or longing, not belonging, desire and longing for someone. And this word is not explicitly found in the New Testament, but it is, I do believe it's in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. I believe it's there when they translated the Song of Solomon from Hebrew to Greek. But it's not in the New Testament. This word eros is not in the New Testament. But the concept of marital love and intimacy is certainly affirmed in the New Testament when the New Testament speaks of husband and wife in Ephesians chapter 5. And then there's another word, storge. And it is a natural familial love that exists between parents and children, between siblings and other relatives. And it encompasses this whole concept of familiarity and acceptance and tenderness. And while this concept is also affirmed in the Bible, this word, this Greek word, does not appear anywhere that I'm aware of in the New Testament or the Septuagint of the Old Testament. But the word that's used here this morning in Hebrews 13:1 is a combination of philia and odelphos, which means brother. So combine those two words and we get the word Philadelphia, which we understand as brotherly love. So what is this brotherly love? Well, at its core, brotherly love is grounded in God's love for us. As we read this morning in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, this tells us that love comes from God. And those who love one another are born of God and know God. But God's ultimate expression of love through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross serves as the foundation upon which our love for one another is built. Furthermore, this brotherly love is the foundation for the unity of the body of Christ. We read about that this morning as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That illustrates how we as members of the body are interconnected and dependent. We need each other. Just as each part of the body has a unique function and contributes to the well-being of the whole, so too are we called to care for one another, to support one another within the body of Christ. So this brotherly love is founded upon the love of God for us and the love that Christ showed for us. And one of the most notable examples of this love is found in the Old Testament in the relationship between David and Jonathan. We see that in the book of 1 Samuel. And we read where Jonathan's soul was knit to David's soul. And he loved him as his own soul. He loved him as he wanted to be loved. And their bond of friendship and loyalty to each other, despite the challenges that they had. Because remember, Jonathan's dad, King Saul, was not fond of David. And this example serves as a powerful testament to the depth of brotherly love shared and the kind of brotherly love that we are called to as Christians. Also, we see in the book of Acts, in the history of the early church, it provides us with a compelling example of brotherly love in action. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and also in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, we see a description of how believers shared everything they had. They cared for one another's needs, and they devoted themselves to fellowship, prayer, and the breaking of bread. This is far more significant than we give it. This account bears far more significance than we can relate to in our own culture. We live in such lavish wealth that we don't even recognize it. But to share a meal with someone was significant in the first century because you worked so hard to gather that food. To give someone some extra clothing for us, it means little. We may not even be using those clothes. We probably won't even miss it. But to give someone a cloak or to give someone some sandals in first century, in the first century church, it was significant. It was significant. They worked so much harder for the things that they had that breaking bread truly meant something. And we must read into it, not our own time and culture, but read in it what is actually there from their time and culture. Their unity and their sacrificial love for one another demonstrated the transformative power of brotherly love that is supposed to be felt within the body of Christ throughout all the ages. So, as recipients of God's love, we are called to reflect His love in our relationships, especially our relationships with fellow believers. Brotherly love is the natural outworking of the Spirit in our lives. But it is so much more than just an effect. It is important enough that we cultivate it. That we cultivate it. We don't just wait to see it manifest in our lives, but to manifest it, to actually actively participate and seek it. So we should be working to cultivate brotherly love because of its importance. Brotherly love is important because it is a reflection of God's character. What we read this morning in 1 John 4:8, it tells us that God is love. This simple but profound statement captures who and what God is. God is love. And while Scripture reveals God's multifaceted nature, including His identity as Spirit, His identity as light, a consuming fire, His love stands at the center. It is a central aspect of His nature. The essence of God's character is love. That, I want to run so many tangents with this, but I think I will save that for another sermon. This truth reveals His heart, and it defines His very being and His actions. The love of God is not merely another divine attribute of God. It permeates every aspect of His nature while coexisting with His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, and even His hate of sin. It is a love that embraces all of creation, and this is demonstrated through the fact that the sun rises and the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. However, as fallen sinful men, we can even get this wrong. A serious misconception arises whenever love is equated with God. Our fallen nature distorts even the truth of this, of God's divine love. Scripture says that God is love. It does not say that love is God. And that's an important distinction. This squishy sentimentality that so often pervades modern Western Christianity, it falls short. This misunderstanding falls short of the depth and the purity of God's love. A love that seeks the ultimate good for the beloved rather than merely temporal happiness, which is what we so often press for. Baby, I just want you to be happy. I do. I would love for my children to be happy. But more importantly, I want them to be holy. As Christians, we reflect the character of God's love to the world by demonstrating God's love. As His beloved children, we are called to reflect His character, primarily through demonstrating His love. When we love one another, we mirror God's love for the world around us. Allowing His light to shine through us is what draws people to Him. It's His love. It is His love. Brotherly love is also important because it strengthens our Christian community. Brotherly love plays a crucial role in building strong relationships within the body of Christ. When believers demonstrate love and affection towards one another, they create an environment of trust and unity and mutual respect. And that's what we defined earlier, Philadelphia. These build strong relationships that serve as the foundation for the fellowship and the worship and the service that we have, fostering that sense of belonging and camaraderie. We are made to be in relationships. No man is an island. No man can be by themselves. In fact, you can study or read of studies of this, how people left alone actually lose their mind. We are made to be in relationships. That's an integral part of who God is. That's why I believe in the Trinity, because Scripture tells it, and because it reveals an aspect of God that you don't get otherwise. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to love one another as brothers and sisters, regardless of our differences, regardless of our backgrounds. This love transcends the barriers of race and ethnicity and socioeconomic status. It overcomes the barriers of culture and language, uniting believers in a common bond of faith and fellowship. And by investing in meaningful relationships within the body of Christ, we strengthen that unity. We cultivate that sense of community and belonging. And brotherly love also plays a vital role in providing support, encouragement, and accountability within the Christian walk. Believers are called to bear one another's burdens, to share one another's joys and sorrows, and to offer practical and spiritual guidance and assistance when it's needed. Additionally, we are called to hold one another accountable. Hold one another accountable in love, helping each other to stay the course and to remain faithful to God's Word and His will for our lives in the context or in the environment of this fallen world, which can be difficult to do. Through this mutual accountability, we can encourage one another to live lives that honor Christ, that advance God's kingdom, and that bring glory to God. This kind of loving support enables believers to overcome the challenges that we all face. And oftentimes, that's the very reason that we face challenges, is because we can look forward to some point in the future where we will encounter someone who needs that love and support, maybe some assistance and encouragement, because they are now facing the same challenge that by the Spirit you were able to overcome. And brotherly love, finally, brotherly love is important because Christ commands it. Christ commands it. Brotherly love is important because it reflects the character of God. Brotherly love is important because it strengthens our community, our Christian community, increases fellowship. And brotherly love is important because Christ commands it. Brotherly love is of utmost importance in fulfilling Jesus' command to love one another as He loved us. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus instructs His disciples to love one another in the same manner that He loved them. His love was sacrificial. It was selfless. It was unconditional. And it was demonstrated through His willingness to lay down His life for them. And He said as much. By loving one another in this way, believers not only obey Christ's command, but they also bear witness to the transformative power of the love of Christ. So brotherly love reflects the very heart of Christ, and it serves as a tangible expression of His love within the Christian community. Remember, we've said it a number of times from the pulpit here, that biblical love is altruism in action. It is doing something. Is it about your feelings? Is it about the emotions that are stirred in your heart? I don't know. But that's not what we're not called to sit down and try to stir up feelings in our heart so that we can respond to that to love someone. No, we are called to simply love them. And if that goes against the feelings in your heart, so be it. Pray for the strength to overcome the way you feel. When believers love one another sacrificially and unconditionally, they demonstrate the reality of their discipleship and the authenticity of their faith in Christ. So it is an essential mark of discipleship and genuine faith. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, the Apostle John emphasizes the connection between love for one another and the reality of being children of God. He asserts that those who do not love their brothers and sisters abide in death. whereas those who do love their brothers and sisters abide in eternal life. So it is essential. Brotherly love is important because it reflects the character of God, because it builds strength in the Christian community, and because Christ commands it of us. As believers, demonstrating brotherly love in our relationships with one another, we bear witness to the character of God, the transformative power of Christ's love. Therefore, it serves as compelling evidence for discipleship and genuine faith, and it draws people to us. Maybe not to us. It draws people to Christ because that's what they see. This is why brotherly love is so important, because it is an outworking of our faith that reflects the love of God. It is a testimony to the reality of the gospel message that we proclaim. And this is why we should be intentionally practicing brotherly love. But what does that look like? Well, one obvious practice of brotherly love is showing hospitality, which is laid out for us in verse 2 this morning of Hebrews 13. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Hospitality is a powerful expression of practicing brotherly love. It involves welcoming strangers into our home and into fellowship. Welcoming fellow believers into our home with warmth and openness and acceptance. The author here in verse 2 admonishes us, you know, to show hospitality to strangers. In a similar way, in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, it says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Emphasizing the importance here of extending kindness and generosity to others. Especially those of the household of faith and those that we know are in need. By opening our hearts and our homes to others, we reflect the love of Christ. Christ welcomed everyone into his open arms, and he demonstrated hospitality throughout his ministry. Is that not what God says in the Old Testament? All day long he extended a hand to these stiff-necked people? Practicing brotherly love through hospitality also involves providing for the needs of others with generosity and compassion. Romans 12:13 not only encourages us to show hospitality, but it also says to contribute to the needs of the saints, highlighting the importance of meeting the practical needs of fellow believers through the acts of kindness and generosity. So hospitality is not limited to simply offering food and shelter for a time being, but encompasses a willingness to share resources that God has blessed us with, to offer a listening, compassionate ear, to provide emotional support to others, because oftentimes that's what we really need. And when possible, to offer some other practical assistance that someone may need. By demonstrating this generosity and compassion towards others, we embody the love of Christ and we fulfill His commandments to love one another as He loved us. So showing hospitality is one obvious practice of brotherly love. Another obvious practice of brotherly love is to bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's burdens in times of trouble and hardship is a fundamental expression of brotherly love, as it involves us making the efforts come alongside of believers to show them love and support when it is most needed. Galatians 6:2 exhorts believers to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came to show His love, we were bearing a burden that we could not carry. We were bearing the burden of our guilt for sin. He didn't just come alongside of us and help us with that. He came under us and took the burden from us. So we were freed from that burden. bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This verse emphasizes the importance of mutual support and solidarity within the Christian community. When believers face trials and challenges and burdensome circumstances, brotherly love compels us to stand by their side, to offer compassion, companionship, encouragement, and prayer. And does not Scripture say that we are all one body? Brother, tell me when you stub your pinky toe if your whole body doesn't feel it. If someone here is suffering, then we should all feel it. We should all know about it. Romans 12:15 encourages believers to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Again, stressing the importance of empathizing with one another's experiences in this life. We live in a fallen world. Life is hard. So we should be the most compassionate and the most empathizing of people. Christians should be the most empathizing and compassionate of people. By empathizing with their struggles and extending compassion, we demonstrate our commitment to loving one another as Christ loved us. But we are not entirely the same as Jesus Christ, are we? We are still fallen, and we sin in many ways. So that brings us to that third and a vital practice of brotherly love, and that is forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Colossians 3:13 instructs believers to bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Here we see the importance of extending grace and mercy to others as a reflection of God's love and forgiveness towards us. Forgiving one another is a profound expression of practicing brotherly love. I pray that we don't have too many opportunities where we have to forgive one another. I pray that we don't cause offense, because brotherly love doesn't offend. But we do. But we do. And that's what makes this so important, because brotherly love means it involves letting go of these grievances and these offenses. When believers choose to forgive those who have wronged them, they release everybody from this burden of bitterness and resentment and anger, and they allow for an environment where love and reconciliation can flourish. By letting go of grievances and offenses, we demonstrate our commitment to loving one another as Christ loved us, with compassion, with grace, with understanding. Colossians 3:13 also encourages believers to forgive as the Lord forgives us. It's not just bear with one another, and if somebody has a complaint on you, then forgive each other. But it's bear with one another, and if you have a complaint against one another, forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us, as Christ has forgiven you. This is an unconditional love and grace that Christ demonstrated through His sacrificial death on the cross. When believers forgive one another, they offer this gift of reconciliation and restoration. They seek to mend brokenness and heal wounds within the Christian community. It's not simply a matter of, oh, don't worry about it, never mind. But it's active. It's intentional to restore a relationship. Through acts of forgiveness and reconciliation, believers embody the love of God. They fulfill His commandments to love one another as He loved us. And it becomes another tangible expression of brotherly love, something you can point to. So as Christians, it is very important that we practice this kind of love, the kind of love that Christ demonstrated through His life and ministry. So we should seek to employ these practices of, of, of brotherly love, through showing hospitality, through bearing one another's burdens, through forgiving one another of offenses. And as I mentioned a moment ago, this can be very difficult. This can be very difficult in the fallen world. It can be very difficult when we still deal with that struggle within, as we were talking about this morning. So I want to mention a couple of barriers that we might have to overcome, that we should be considerate of, that we need to be prepared for. Remember, another thing we talked about this morning is that analogy of battle that Scripture talks about. It gives this analogy of the Christian life being a warfare, a spiritual warfare. Well, one of the important things about warfare is that you need to understand the strengths of your enemy, you need to understand your own strengths and weaknesses, and you need to understand the obstacles that you're going to face and be prepared for them. So, some of the barriers that we will have to overcome in practicing brotherly love is that barrier of pride and selfishness. Pride and selfishness will always hinder genuine fellowship and unity within the body of Christ. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." This verse underscores the importance of humility. Underscores the importance of humility in overcoming the obstacles, the barriers that we face in showing brotherly love. When believers prioritize their own interests and their own agendas above the needs and the well-being of others, then it creates division and strife. Therefore, it is important that we cultivate humility in ourselves. This involves putting aside selfish ambition, putting aside selfish preferences. It involves humbling ourselves before God and before each other. It means embracing. This is one of the things that gets me about these churches that wash each other's feet. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to assume that the rest of you are like me and that you bathed. And you don't need your feet bathed? You don't need me to wash your feet? But the attitude that Christ took when He washed the disciples' feet was He was taking a posture. It was not about how clean your feet were. He was taking a posture of selflessness and servitude. That's what He calls us to. That's what it means to be humble. To let go of your selfishness and your pride. If there was anybody that's ever walked the earth that should not have been washing our feet in that way, it would have been Christ. But He didn't come to show His glory in that regard. He came to show His love, His compassion, the heart of a servant, so that we could see that. That is part of His character. Yes, He is glorious and He is majestic, and we should be kissing His feet. But He is also loving and compassionate and willing to bow down and serve us when we need it. He's showing us this. He gave up all of that to come to show us how to be godly men and women. That's what this was about. That's what the washing of the feet was about. It was about taking up a position, a posture of servanthood, to do the things that these guys, these disciples, would have never done on their own without Him showing them. That's what this was about. That's what Philippians 2 is calling us to. To put aside your pride and selfishness and serve one another wherever it may be needed. And if that means you really have dirty feet and that's what you need, maybe you have a back problem, or maybe you're in a body cast, then sure. Surely that would be the case. James 4:6 says, "But he gives us more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So cultivating humility is essential in overcoming barriers to brotherly love. Overcoming barriers to brotherly love. Humility involves recognizing our limitations, acknowledging our dependence upon God, submitting ourselves to His will and His purposes, and not deeming ourselves more than someone else. It also entails serving others with a genuine spirit of love and compassion. This is what Christ did. He humbled Himself and became obedient like a servant to the point of death on the cross. So by cultivating this kind of humility and servanthood in our hearts and in our actions, we overcome these barriers of pride and selfishness that keep us from truly expressing brotherly love. Even when we claim that we are, if there's pride and selfishness in there, we're not. Someone else, they get it. You know when somebody has been trying to be nice to you, but on the inside, they're raging against you because they just, whatever happened. Maybe they just don't like you, or maybe you did something that really offended them, but they're striving against everything in them, to be nice to you. We see it, we read it. It's the same if we try to fake brotherly love, but we're still strutting around full of pride and self-importance. People will see right through it. Another barrier to brotherly love is bitterness and resentment. As Christians, we must address conflict and grievances in a spirit of love and reconciliation. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, we read this. "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." This passage highlights the importance of addressing conflicts and grievances in a biblical manner. Bitterness and resentment can poison relationships, sometimes quickly and sometimes very slowly. But it poisons relationships and it will hinder. It is a barrier to brotherly love. Therefore, it is essential that we address conflict and grievances promptly and in a biblical manner, seeking reconciliation and restoration. As Christians, we must choose forgiveness and we must choose grace over bitterness and grudges. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Brotherly love cannot thrive alongside bitterness and resentment. And forgiveness is the prescribed antidote to that. If you truly forgive someone, how can you harbor bitterness and resentment against them? How? When we choose to forgive those who have wronged us, we release ourselves from this bondage of bitterness and extend grace and mercy. When we choose not to forgive, we leave ourselves shackled to that offense, whatever it was. We leave ourselves shackled to it. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to forgive, to extend grace and mercy and understanding. This is the picture that we have been called to represent to the world of God. So we have to overcome or be prepared for those moments of be prepared for those barriers that to brotherly love that come into our lives, like pride and selfishness. We have to be prepared for that because it will rear its ugly head in us. We have to be prepared to overcome bitterness and resentment so that we can show brotherly love. And a third common barrier to brotherly love is a lack of understanding and empathy for others. As Christians, we must seek to understand the perspectives and experiences of others. Again, Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." A lack of understanding and empathy will hinder brotherly love. It will. Therefore, it is essential to strive to understand, to listen attentively to the concerns and the struggles of others, and to empathize with their joys and with their sorrows. As Christians, we must practice empathy and compassion in our interactions. As we read in, as we read earlier in Colossians 3, 12 and 13, it urges us to put on compassion, to put on kindness and humility and meekness and patience, and to bear with one another. Also, in 1 Peter 3:8, it says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind." Having unity of mind involves putting ourselves in someone else's shoes, seeking to understand what they may be going through or what their position is, seeing the world from their perspective and responding with compassion and understanding. Misunderstanding and indifference will always be a barrier to brotherly love. So by practicing empathy and compassion, and yes, empathy is not something that comes natural to some people. It takes effort. We must practice it. By practicing this, by seeking to understand, then we overcome these barriers. We overcome these barriers to brotherly love, selfishness, pride, bitterness, resentment, a lack of understanding, a lack of empathy. All those things will hinder us from showing love to one another. One of the things we often discuss from this pulpit is the importance of bearing God's image in this creation. Every time we misrepresent God, that is a sin. It's categorically a sin because we are image bearers. And everything that we do that is sinful is a failure to properly represent God in this creation. It is what we are all called to do. Not just the Christians, but even the unbelievers, the pagans, they were created in God's image. And they fail in their sin, in their religion. And just like us, they fail when they do something that is unloving and uncompassionate towards one another. It is a sin. And their ignorance does not alleviate them, just like our ignorance of certain sins does not relieve us of any guilt for that. We are all called to represent God in this fallen world. And 1 John, as we read this morning, 4:8, declares that God is love. God is love. So therefore, you would think that being a Christian, being a good image bearer here would mean that that's the description that someone should have about us, that everything that we do is loving and compassionate. Now understand what I mean by that. I mean a biblical love. Christ, we just went through it. The whole of Scripture talks about the love of Christ. Even false religions will talk about and praise Christ for His love, but they do not translate it, or they do not see the love as it biblically is. Because Christ hated sin. And when on those rare occasions, when he put his foot down about sin, people left. When people were confronted with that ultimatum, between accepting Christ or keeping their sin, there were those who left because Christ was not going to budge on that. So God is love, and it is a biblical understanding of love that matters. And then Hebrews, we come here to Hebrews 1 and 2 and exhorts us to continue in brotherly love and to show hospitality to strangers. So these verses here emphasize the importance of demonstrating love and kindness towards others, both within the Christian community and to strangers. And when we extend that brotherly love to others, then we reflect the heart of God. Remember in Matthew 22, verses 38 and 39, I think we may have read that last week. I don't remember. But it talks about the commandments. When the Pharisee came in and tried to test Christ and ask him which is the greatest of the commandments, and the Lord Jesus just sort of encapsulated it all in a very simple phrase when he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. And then the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Both of these are an expression of love. So brotherly love demonstrated through acts of kindness, compassion, hospitality, it fulfills these commandments. And when we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and extend hospitality to strangers, then we embody the love of God. And our love for others becomes a tangible expression of our love of God. And it is us recognizing and honoring the image of God, even in the most wretched person. Therefore, brotherly love is not only a fulfillment of God's commandments to us. It is not only a reflection of our devotion to God, but it is the very act of being what you were created to be, which is an image bearer of God in this physical creation. So in Scripture, when we read about Christ interacting with anybody, He did the most loving thing in that moment that He could do. He did the most loving thing when any other person interacted with Him. He did the most loving thing He could do without compromising His love for God. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. So when we pursue this act of brotherly love, then we are being what we were created for. And it brings honor and glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Paul says, what a wretched man I am, that we will find pride in doing that. Let us pray.